Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I see the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through.
Thanks to the police department, I'd asked the question today just out of curiosity. What's the enforcement history been with skateboarding prohibition? So in the last 3 years, we've written 3 warnings and we've 0 tickets.
3 warnings in 3 years and 0 tickets. So, no, this is on the skateboarding downtown. So this is, let's just say, a rarely enforced thing that's happened. But the ordinance as it currently exists, Section 11-4-17, Prohibition of Skateboards on Sidewalks. This is in the City of Pensacola Code. Skateboarding shall be prohibited on public sidewalks and on walkways and parking lots in an area bounded on the west by the west right-of-way line of Balin Street, on the north by the north right-of-way line on Cervantes Street, on the east by the east right-of-way line of Gillimard Street and Jefferson Street, and on the south by the waterfront. And there's a map attached. So that's what had been put into place, and that is what is going to go away tonight, I would expect, because the proposal to repeal that skateboarding prohibition downtown has been brought forward by City Councilman Casey Jones.
Most citizens probably don't know that this is on the book, so it's not as if everyone was fully aware of this ordinance and then there were people breaking the rules. I would say if we're looking at data, we've given out 3 warnings in 3 years. So, and I would think most people that would or wouldn't be skateboarding downtown were not aware necessarily that this was even on the book. So,
yeah, I think a lot of people probably were not aware. That's, again, Mayor Reeves talking, Jen Baer, City Councilwoman.
I do remember when this law came in. And so there was a whole hoopla about skateboarders, you know, grinding on sides and wearing off stuff. I mean, so there was a big deal when it came through originally. And so at least at that time, everyone was made well aware. So I don't know if you've just got parents that remember. Right. So don't let their kids or what have you. But it was a very big deal, and people knew what the issues were.
It was a big deal. I remember this, you know, as a former skater, I think I have to describe myself that way. Can't say current anymore. I mean, I can, but not well. I remember Jewel Canada Wynn talking about these skateboarders jumping and flipping and kicking down. You know, I remember this was a big discussion we had a couple of years back. So Jen Brer asks what I thought was actually a fairly good question.
Has the DIB surveyed the groups within the DIB? I mean, they do pay 2 extra mills in that area, so we've got to, I feel like we kind of owe it to them for them to be heard on this one.
Yeah, now DIB, I'm trying to think of the DIBs. I guess it really is, that's the zone for DIB. I was thinking that DIB was a little bit smaller than the zone of the band, but I think that is about the right shape of it. And, you know, has the Downtown Improvement Board been asked about this? And that's a good question, because they'd be the ones you would think most likely to complain about the repeal of this ordinance if they were going to complain. And Casey Jones says, well, you know, I talked to Walker Wilson. He's the executive director, and I didn't really get any feedback on it.
I don't believe there's been a survey done. I have talked to Mr. Wilson, the executive director of the DIB, about it before we bought this. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I discussed it with him so he could make people aware. But I haven't heard much feedback since then.
Yeah, so if it were a big issue for them, we would expect that we'd either hear directly from them, or maybe they'll show up at the meeting tonight. But, you know, Walker's smart enough to know that you can head this thing off at the pass a whole lot easier than if you got to be the guy who gets up and says, no kids skateboarding downtown, no, no, no.
Is there a reason you're doing this right now, Councilman?
I'll say it coincides well with the opening of the skate park, but that wasn't what prompted it.
Okay.
Something I've been working on actually for a few months, and really just doing a lot of research about vibrant communities and active transportation, and that's, without going into any merits, that's really what prompted all of this.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously the skate park grand opening next week, it seems like they are pretty well-timed together, but there you had Charles Baer asking the question and Casey Jones saying, no, I'd kind of been working on this for a while anyway. It just happens to come at this moment. It looks timed together, but he says it's not, and certainly I have no reason to doubt that that's the case. I will say this. I don't think you want people skateboarding down Palafox in and amongst the businesses and the tables. You know, like, that seems problematic to me. Just like we don't want people riding the scooters, which is why we have the scooter rules the way they're so that you're supposed to be on the street.
But yeah, you don't want to run over a panhandler.
Right, but you, well, you could ollie them. I mean, come on, you know, that's just a challenge for you. Parkour. So, no, anyway, it is what it is. But you don't want them in the street either. I think that good judgment, I'm not alleging that all skateboarders have good judgment, but good judgment would be to probably not go riding it down Palafox. But the rest of the areas, I don't know what the issue is. 6:16 here on News Radio 92.3. So I would expect that to pass tonight, and we'll be back to being, you know, free skate zone in the city of Pensacola. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Not showing any slowdowns or delays. There's an accident in Milton, and it looks like it's off Anderson Lane, but it's one area. It looks like a cul-de-sac. Anthony Avenue, Anthony Circle, and Anthony Court in Milton. Partial roadblock there. That's the only thing I'm seeing right now. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you're an employer with employees and you love managing benefits, payroll, and HR, great. Keep doing what you're doing. Or if you are an employee with employer with employees and you don't love managing that stuff and you'd like a little bit of help with it, or maybe you just want to find out if there's a better way to do it with better choices for your employees, that's why you call Torgerson Causey. Listen, when we started using them about 5 or 6 years ago, I didn't know what we were missing. You know, let me put it that way. I didn't know there were better plans and choices out there than what we had before, but there were. I learned when we switched, okay? As a company. I mean, News Radio and Cat Country as a company. And I didn't know that there was an even better level of, like, you know, customer service, which there definitely is. They were a massive improvement for us in that regard. So I'm saying from personal experience, those of us here at News Radio can say Torgerson Causey did well by us, and they are fantastic at handling questions, concerns, whatever. Get back to us with good information, details, all of that. So if you want to find out whether there's a better way to do it or maybe a way that'll take some of that load off of your plate as a business owner, Torgerson Causey, more than 20 years helping local businesses just like yours. No obligation to have them look over what you're doing. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time, and it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled? Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman.
From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
Something's wrong, 'cause my mind is spinning. Everywhere I look, there's a dead end waiting. Temperatures dropping at the right.
And then for Northwest Florida, Baldwin County as well, that's going to be more like around lunchtime, maybe 11, noonish, around that time frame here. Some heavy rain potentially in the area. And look at this model, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, showing just a ton of thunderstorm activity and rainfall in the area, even putting on some purple colors, which would really lean toward the possibility of hail. We'll see if that ends up happening here across the area.
That's Alan Strumcourse last night, Channel 3 News, talking about the weather expected today, which is strong midday. It's right now, it's over like Mississippi and a little bit scattered west of there, but the storm is coming midday for us. 10 o'clock-ish through about maybe 3 or 4, something like that, and strong enough to maybe contain some hail, strong enough to maybe have some, you know, heavy downpour, a couple of inches of rain is what we're looking at, somewhere around the 2.5 mark for the city of Pensacola, and then, you know, the possibility of strong winds, tornadoes, things like that. So I wouldn't schedule your picnic for 1 o'clock today. That's my good advice for you. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Montana's first openly transgender lawmakers apparently have been banned from their state's House floor for the rest of the legislative session there. House Republicans voted Wednesday to censure Democratic Representative Zoe Zephyr. Zephyr drew the criticism of Republicans after she said lawmakers who voted to ban transgender-affirming care for minors would have blood on their hands. The Massachusetts Air Guard member accused of leaking classified military documents due back in court today. Jack Teixeira scheduled for a federal detention hearing. And there was a little bit of commotion in a Manhattan courtroom yesterday. This is where Ed Sheeran's copyright infringement case is taking place. Apparently, the woman accusing Ed Sheeran of copying Marvin Gaye's song Let's Get It On, she was suing him for that. She fainted in the middle of the trial, had to be carried out on a stretcher.
Oh, Lordy!
Apparently, it was a pre-existing medical condition.
Well, it's not as funny then, is it? All right, David, thanks so much for the... You know, this lawsuit, listen,
You don't hear it? I hear it.
These copyright infringement lawsuits, sometimes you listen to it and you're like, oh, yeah, they stole that. In this one,
it's a common
don't hear it. This is Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud. You know the song. You might not know it by name, but you know the song. This is the beginning.
When your legs don't work like they used to before.
Right, that's the beginning. This is kind of the part that has more of the issue in it.
Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fool in love with you every single day. And I just want to tell you I am. So honey, now.
All right, so that's the Ed Sheeran. And, of course, you know this song, even though you, I mean, I assume you actually know this one by name, but here's the Marvin Gaye.
I've been really trying, baby. Trying to hold back this feeling for so long.
Yeah, if I'm on the jury, I'm a no. It just doesn't, there are some where you're like, oh, yeah, clearly. This doesn't strike me as one. You say yes, Candy.
I can hear it, but I think Ed Sheeran's a genius, and I don't think he. I would vote no because I like Ed Sheeran, but I can hear it a little bit. Absolutely, I think other people can too.
And here's the thing: one of the arguments in court is, well, you actually spoke some of the lyrics from Marvin Gaye's song at one point during a concert, indicating that you know this was stolen. And his answer is, I would have to be a flaming idiot to steal a song and then speak the words on stage admitting the fact, meaning that somebody who had actually stolen it would be more circumspect about the way they refer to that song. And so he says, I didn't steal it. This is just a common chord progression. And the fact that you can lay lyrics from one song over top of another and it sounds right is just evidence that music has a lot of commonality to it, not evidence that I stole something.
Well, he is right. It is a very common chord progression. There's like a ton of songs, but yeah. I could hear it a little bit.
So this is one for me, okay, as just the layman. If it's me on the jury, I'm a no vote. 625 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and we have all the musical expertise that I have brought to bear on this.
I really do, though.
Yeah, I understand. That's fine. Yeah. And Candy is far more the musical expert than I am. I'll grant her that.
I will take
for
that.
For sure.
But not the news one.
But she's definitely also the expert about traffic.
not either, but anyway, but we are being careful. The good news is we're not showing any slowdowns, really. There's one area vehicle crash with a roadblock in Milton, and it's a subdivision off Anderson Lane, it looks like, Anthony Avenue, Anthony Court, Anthony Circle in Milton. Partial roadblock there. The rest seems fine. 90, not showing any slowdowns or delays. 98, both Navarre, Gulf Breeze, and Lillian, all fine right now. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. By the way, I thought about the Zoe Zephyr case. This is the Montana legislator who's transgender, a male who presents as female these days, and, you know, getting censured by the state legislature and then getting told that can only participate with votes by Zoom, cannot be in the hall. I actually agree with this, and here's I'll tell you why. You say, well, Andrew, I thought you were against them throwing out the two black legislators in Tennessee. Yeah, what did I say? They shouldn't throw them out. They should censure them, or if they feel the need to, or remove them from committees, or, and I don't think I said it at the time, but, you know, maybe force them to participate remotely or something like that if they have a concern about future breaches of, you know, the decorum and procedural rules of the House. Which is exactly what they've done here. Somebody who said things like, you're killing us and you're destroying us, and led basically a kind of internal protest in the House with chanting and uproar in the middle of a House session. So this is exactly the kind of thing that I said ought to have been done about the Tennessee legislators, if anything. And so when they turn around and do it with this particular Montana legislator, it has nothing to do with being transgender. It has everything to do with the style of comment that were very inflammatory, and also the participation in the sort of in-house demonstration and protest. So, yeah, this seems perfectly appropriate. This is exactly why you have layers of punishment like censure and removal from committees, as opposed to actually kicking somebody out of the House and then having to suffer the embarrassment of, well, they just get put right back in by their local legislative bodies. 627 on News Radio 92.3. Interesting note, and it, again, I think highlights the issue that we just don't have good religion reporters anymore. And I'll give you the headlines that are, you know, the two different headlines, okay? Headline number one was AP. In a historic shift, shouldn't it be an historic shift? Oh, that's a grammar argument for a different day. In a historic shift, Pope Francis allows women to vote at bishops' meetings. And if you read through the story, you would think, oh my God, this is amazing. Francis has approved changes to the norms governing the Synod of Bishops, a Vatican body that gathers the world's bishops together for periodic meetings following years of demands by women to have the right to vote. Until now, only men, only people who could vote were men. But under the new changes, five religious sisters will join five priests as voting representatives for religious orders. In addition, Francis has decided to appoint 70 non-bishop members of the Synod and has asked that half of them be women. They, too, will have a vote. And you would think, wow, the Catholic Church completely pivoting on gender issues. But as I often recommend that you do, if you read a story about the Catholic Church, go to Catholic sources. As I do, I go to the National Catholic Register, which is the source for information about, you know, Catholic-related news. And what you find out there is that, sure enough, it's true. The Synod on Synodality will take place in two sessions, October 23 and October of 24. And women are being required to be a part of it, 50% of the selected people to be women, and the presence of young people also emphasized. And yes, they will get a vote. But one of the key things that the AP didn't report, maybe because they didn't understand the significance, is that after the vote on the final document for this assembly, this is not all assemblies, this is this particular assembly, the Pope alone decides whether to take any actions based on the recommendations in the final text or whether to adopt it as an official church document, meaning what? What does the vote do power-wise for the women who give their vote? Well, nothing. It's nothing. I mean, it's not nothing because it is inclusion of them for the first time, and they do get a vote for the first time, both significant elements, but it doesn't give them authority to vote to directly implement anything, because anything that would get implemented has to be decided upon on the basis of the Pope. And so this, my lay outside non-Catholic opinion is, based on the historical view by Catholics that women should not have authority over men in the church, based on Timothy, among other things, this is well within that boundary, that even though women are being given more input, they don't actually have the ability to make anything happen. And therefore, it's not much of a change for the Catholic Church, frankly. So this earth-shattering, groundbreaking, historic change, AP, you ought to learn a little bit more about how the Catholic faith is structured before you make false claims like that in your headlines.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The House, 217-215, passes a Republican bill to raise the nation's debt limit and cut spending.
We save money by being smart.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on Fox, the bill won't get through Democrats controlling the Senate.
It only brings us dangerously closer to default.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. The Justice Department wants a Massachusetts Air National Guardsman accused of leaking classified documents to be held as a security risk.
The government says Jack Teixeira may still have access to classified information that could be used by a hostile nation willing to offer him safe harbor. Prosecutors say he actively took steps to conceal who he shared sensitive data with, including destroying a tablet and telling people in an online chat room where he allegedly posted the classified documents to delete all messages and remain silent.
Fox's Sean Langell, two of Teixeira's National Guard commanders have been suspended. Stock futures are higher ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31. News Radio 92.3 71. Cloudy right now in Pensacola. And there is a severe thunderstorm watch that's been issued for our entire area. Baldwin, Escambia, Santa Rosa counties until 11:40 this morning. Taking a look at our threat net radar, does look like the first of those storms are starting to cross into like Mobile County right now. And those storms running all the way across Mississippi into Louisiana. So we'll be seeing some severe weather later today. We'll get more on that with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson in just a couple of minutes. The Escambia County School District has a Monday deadline to reach an agreement with Charter Schools USA over the future of Warrington Middle School. There's going to be a special school board meeting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to decide how they move forward.
You're probably not going to like everything in the contract, but we also have to look at what our options are at this point. And again, Superintendent, I know that you came before this board and we talked about that this was the option. This was going to be the option to turn around Warrington Middle. And we need to do that.
Ben Gibson from the State Board of Education, that from an April 19th meeting, Escambia School District leaders have been critical over the length of time that it took Charter USA to provide details of their proposal. They've also been tied up over a series of non-negotiables Charter USA has made. They say that they believe may not be in the best interest of Warrington area students. One person killed when a car was hit by an Amtrak train yesterday in Mobile. Police say 28-year-old Chadwick Timmons tried to go through a train crossing despite the safety arms being down. His car was hit by the train. The train then caught on fire, and there were no reports of injuries from anybody on that Amtrak train. The feud between Disney and the state of Florida now heating up a little bit more. The Walt Disney Company has filed a lawsuit against Governor DeSantis. News Radio's Joe Ford with more.
The lawsuit claims that targeted campaign of government retaliation is threatening the company's business and violating its constitutional rights. Disney filed the lawsuit yesterday in the U.S. District Court for North Florida. The lawsuit alleges five different violations, including two free speech, property rights, due process, and violation of contract. The feud has been going on ever since Disney opposed Florida's parental rights and education bill. During a special legislative session earlier this year, Florida lawmakers voted to end Disney's self-governing status through the Reedy Creek Special District. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Joe. After passing the House yesterday, the Senate expected to vote tomorrow on a bill that would allow the state to trump local jurisdictions over landlord and tenant regulations. Bill supporters say the state needs a free market approach to solve affordable housing and local regulations drive up those costs. But opponents argue that state control would lead to reduced consumer protections. And they say local governments should be able to address their local housing issues. And hey, crawfish lovers, this weekend kicks off the Crawfish Festival downtown. It's going to start Friday, run through Sunday at Seville Square and Fountain Park downtown. In addition to crawfish, there's going to be music. Admission gates are going to be on Government and Zaragoza streets. Tickets, $5 a day for adults, $2 a day for kids. And don't worry if you're not a fan of crawfish, although I can't believe there's anybody that's not around. But if you're not, there's plenty of other food options as well. You can check out the Fiesta Pensacola website for more information on that. And at 6:35, let's get an update on our traffic on the fives with Candy.
And taking a look downtown, of course, a crawfish festival happening at Seville Square and Fountain Park, and not showing any slowdowns in that area. It looks like Palafox, Cervantes, Government, all clear. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms as we go into the afternoon and evening. Weather alert day is a few storms could be strong, high near 75. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. Some isolated showers still possible on Friday with a 30% chance of rain, high near 80 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And taking a look at our threat net radar right now, looks like that first line of storms just to the east of Biloxi right now, crossing into Alabama. So we'll probably be seeing those before you know it this morning. We'll be following the weather closely for you all day today. Right now it's 71 and cloudy in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, and 69 in Milton. Our next news at 7 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Shares of Facebook parent Meta Platforms are up 11% in pre-market trading after the company reported its first increase in sales in nearly a year due to continued improvements in its advertising business. Revenue in the latest quarter rose 3% from a year ago to $28.6 billion. Meta attributed some of the gains to Reels, its short-form video product. Meta also says second quarter revenue could reach as high as $32 billion. Tens of thousands of Stellantis workers in the U.S. will soon receive buyout offers from the automaker. The company says a total of 33,500 workers in the U.S. will receive offers of voluntary separation programs. Impacted employees will get details about the various offers next week, according to the automaker that owns Chrysler, Fiat, and Jeep. The buyouts will be offered to employees who have 15 or more years of service and work in certain areas. On Wall Street, futures indicating a mixed open this morning. That's Your Money Now.
If you own a small to medium-sized business that kept employees on payroll through COVID, you may have a big cash refund waiting for you. The Employee Retention Credit is a tax credit of up to $26,000 per employee. And now, more businesses than ever qualify. The experts at RefundsPro.com specialize in cutting through the red tape of qualifying for this government program. Most of their refunds are over $100,000. Even businesses that have received PPP funds may be eligible. And there are absolutely no fees unless you receive a refund, so there's no reason not to apply. If your business experienced shutdowns, limited capacity, supply chain challenges, or reduced revenue due to COVID, you likely qualify. RefundsPro.com has already helped hundreds of businesses, so don't lose the refund you're owed by missing the deadline. Get started today with a free 5-minute questionnaire at RefundsPro.com. That's refunds with an S, pro.com.
Climatech, heating and cooling is what we know. Call 857-4700.
We've all heard the saying, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. In the Florida Panhandle, it's both. Hello everyone, Travis Thompson here from Climatech Professional Air, your independently owned American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. While we can't do a whole lot about the heat and humidity outside your home, we can make a big difference in the comfort and humidity inside your home. Our high-efficiency comfort systems are designed to reduce humidity, save on energy cost, be better for the environment, at the same time, keeping your home more comfortable. Combine that with instant rebates up to $1,200 and available energy tax credits up to $2,000, and a new high-efficiency comfort system is the way to go when your home needs a new system. Want to know more? Give me a call.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
morning. 640 here on News Radio 92.3. We're expecting a bit of weather later on in the morning, 10 o'clock-ish, and then moving through about 3 o'clock today. So rain, wind, possible hail is what Alan Strum said last night. So, yeah, serious weather later on today. For now, we have Michelle Salzman on the line. She is our House representative in the state legislature, District 1. That's the northern two-thirds, half, whatever. I mean, depending on whether you're talking geographically or population-wise, of Escambia County. Michelle, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So I want to start with the one that people probably don't know as much about, that they haven't heard as much news coverage about, that I think a lot of them would be like, oh, okay. HB 1543, you are a co-sponsor on this bill. This is the one that would undo one of the four key provisions of the post-Parkland bill that would allow people at the age of 18 to buy and transfer firearms instead of the current age of 21, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's a great bill. Certainly, certainly all American.
And so this is a bill that's kind of been like stalled on the Senate side. You know, they just weren't willing to do this for a long time. Where does the bill stand in terms of Senate co-sponsorship status? Is this actually going to get through the legislature this year, do you think?
I don't think so. If I were being just completely honest, I would tell you that we have some blocks. This was a passion of the speakers. When I met with him a little over a year ago, we had all that controversy going on up here with one of the House members calling to action a bunch of people trying to tell everybody we weren't pro Second Amendment. But really, we knew if we had put a bill forward, it would completely fail, you know, going through the process. But we all agreed that we were going to work towards getting our Second Amendment rights back this session, the following session. So I would presume. I don't think it's going to get past the finish line this year. It might. You never know. Negotiations are always fun and exciting.
Sure.
But if it doesn't, I'm pretty sure that it's going to be a big point of contention next year because the speaker really wants to pull that portion back.
Yeah, you know, it seems like to me there's three main issues out there kind of ripe for the taking potentially on gun rights. One would be this one of lowering the age back to 18, which I absolutely support. The second one would be campus carry because it's the same issue, right? It's are you going to allow adults to be able to protect themselves or are you going to make them dependent on this massive gun-free zone and hope that the campus cops are around to protect them?
Depend and then the on other- the government. Depend on the government.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other one would be open carry, which we've already got permitless carry coming this summer and, you know, genuine open carry. Those to me are the three that are sort of big, ripe targets possibly left to do. And I don't know your position. I think you're in favor of open carry. I'm not sure about campus carry, though.
All the things.
I figured.
Just give it all to me.
Yeah.
And the campus carry is going to be a hard one, but we'll see how that goes in the future. But I mean, the whole thing is a lot. And with our mental health crisis that we have right now, it's hard to have a conversation about your gun rights because people consistently try to tie mental health with a gun. And those two are not the same. It's like telling your teacher, oh, I didn't fail the test. The pencil did. Hold on a minute. You made that choice. But at the same time, you know, it's a huge crisis and we need to address both of them, which I think we're doing a good job in Florida of trying to navigate that, fix what we did a few years ago, but also continue to invest in the future of mental health for our families.
Yesterday in the Senate, they had a big conversation about the resign to run portion of SB 7050, which is the election reforms package. And, you know, you had on the one hand, Travis Hudson, who's running the bill on the Senate side, say, look, we just don't want to lose our governor if he happens to run for president and not win. And Jason Pizzo says, why are we making a special bill just for one person? Isn't it kind of already that law? You're working on this on the House side, though, right?
I am. And I'll tell you, there's a couple of things. One, the Senate version is for the president of the United States and vice president of the United States. What I'm going to be doing on the House side is expanding that to all state and local government officials or constitutional officers will be able to run for a federal office without having to resign. Currently, if you're a state senator, you technically have to resign to run for Congress. So the bill is more of a cleanup language. The term qualify is ambiguous in itself, although we've had a lot of scholars and folks tell us, no, you don't really need to fix the law for the governor to run for president. We as a legislature have said, hold on a minute, if there are some issues that's coming up in these conversations, and mostly done by the media, maybe we should actually address this so that we don't have to depend on the courts to decide this should someone run for office in the future, not necessarily in the upcoming presidential cycle. So there's some good stuff coming from it. It's certainly a needed thing to do. We never really put our eye on it, not in the last few years anyway, but we have redone this law in the past 10 to 15 years several times, as early as 2018 when we revised it. But there's also another point that needs to be made. You know, everybody's shining a light on Florida because, you know, we're Florida and we have Governor DeSantis. But really what they need to be seeing is only four states in the United States have a resign to run law.
Interesting.
So it's not like we are doing something, whoa, out of the box and crazy. We're actually more stringent on what we allow in Florida than what most states in the United States do. So it's we're just simply opening that back up to and clarifying some of the language in the actual statute. But I like the idea of allowing a senator to be able to run for Congress without having to resign. So if Senator Brockson wanted to run for Congress, or, you know, we know he's not, but that's just an example,
right.
He wouldn't have to resign from his seat.
No,
so
I agree.
Because they serve four-year terms. So my version just opens it up to everybody, but certainly clarifying some terminology for qualifying, because we don't in state level and local level officials, we don't qualify the same as a presidential nominee does, because the party, the major parties decide who the nominees are. They do that. We don't, you know, in the state and local government, we have to file the oath of office. We have to do petitions. There's certain things that we have to do for us to qualify, but a federal candidate, they don't do it the same way. So we just clarify that in statute.
Yeah, and I like that. In fact, that's one of the things that Jason Pizzo made the comment. He's like, well, why don't we open it up to statewide? And you're like, okay. and I agree. I don't think we ought to have a resign to run law. I think that it's I understand the reason for it. You know, you don't want to have somebody win the advancing election and then you're out that seat and the people didn't get a chance to vote on the replacement until the special election. But generally speaking, I don't like the resign to run concept. So I'm glad you guys are cleaning that up. Hold on for me for just a second. We're talking to Michelle Salzman. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
And it looks like everything is running smoothly. Not showing any problems. 29 clear down to the split at Pace Palafox. And if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Representative Salzman. Two bills I want to talk about. I hope I get a chance to do both of them. I may run out of time. But one, I definitely want to give you a chance to talk about your committee substitute for HB 1557, meaning it's gone through a bunch of iterations. This is to work on sexual exploitation and human trafficking. And what I want to know is anything you do in this realm, I know this is a passion for you. The hotels historically have been the real roadblock because they are opposed to all the changes, and they are a key, in my opinion, linchpin in solving this problem. What does your bill do, and how have the hotels been taking it?
Well, my bill does a lot, but the most important piece of my bill is the fact that it actually puts teeth into statute. So currently in the entire United States, there's no regulation for adult safe houses. We have some regulation for child safe houses, but not adult safe houses. So we've been kind of willy-nilly in it, you know, all throughout America. Nobody has really stood up and said, okay, this is what we should be requiring if you call yourself a safe house. We have some of those parameters currently in place through DCF for the child safe houses, but even still, we're missing a lot of pieces in that, too. So this bill came from Senator Angolia. Blaze has been a dear friend of mine for a while. He lives in South Florida. There was an issue where a child was trafficked from from a youth safe home. And he called me and he was like, we can't let this happen again. We got to do something. So we called the AG. We sat down with her. This is one of her big priorities this year. So having it be the AG's big priority and, you know, starting this so early, we started it pretty early on in negotiations. We've been able to work through a lot of things you typically wouldn't work through. And being the vice chair of healthcare appropriations, seeing that this is going to cost around $1 million to launch, it was easy for me to say, hey, chair, I need a little bit of money to be allocated for this new bill that we're trying to get passed. And, you know, so just a lot of teamwork. But the pushback is, and I'm not one of those people that does the little push button things, but the pushback was only Disney. I haven't heard from any other hotelier yet, although we just added some strong language in there, because as we started human trafficking laws requiring the signage and the training in the hotel rooms three years ago, every year they have doubled in non-compliance as far as training and signage goes. So for the most part, the hoteliers in the state of Florida are saying, yeah, okay, whatever, because there's no fines or anything. Initially, we launched it, and people kind of participated. We had about an 80% rate. But as we've moved on in years, their trick is slowly dwindling down, and they're not doing anything. So now we're like, you know what? You're going to have 45 days to comply, or you're going to get a $2,000 fine every time you don't do it.
Good.
But we just added that component a couple weeks ago, so they haven't really had a chance to really freak out. But my only, the only hotelier quote, or, you know, that type of industry was Disney. They came in and said, you're wanting us to put these signs at a spa, you know, our resorts, that would scare people away. And so I brought them in. We talked through it. We changed a little bit to make them feel a little more comfortable about it. I think they're happy now. But they were the only ones that came in against that piece of the bill so far. But we'll be pulling. The Senate version is on the floor, I think, today. And we'll be pulling exactly the language that they passed. We're going to bring it over, and I think that's what we're going to stick with.
Outstanding. Well, you have so many others that you're working on, and we're completely out of time. But Michelle Salzman, always good to talk to you as we start to wrap up session. Thanks especially for the work you're doing on the Indian bills and all the stuff on recall of county commissioners and partisan elections for school boards and
Absolutely.
Term limits for school board members. All of those things are good. Representative Michelle Salzman, District 1, the North, not two-thirds, let's say, of Escambia County. As always, a pleasure. Thanks for the work you do and the time.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You bet. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
It's the biggest party of the year. Unfiltered, off-kilter, and a little unhinged with PLT's Cabaret Off-Broadway. Saturday, May 6th, Cabaret's Playhouse theme transforms the theater and surrounding block into an indoor-outdoor entertainment complex, seamlessly fusing local art and celebration to showcase art as the life of the party. Come immerse yourself in the best of Pensacola's art scene. Get your tickets now before it sells out at the Pensacola Little Theater box office or online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas, 368 in Florida. We're a nickel worse than the world. 311 in Mississippi, 488 in California, if you want to know the range. 329 east at the Walmart in Navarre, 326 west of the Walmart, 331 at the Cumberland Farms, going up 87 if you have to. 320 at the Murphy across the street from the foot of the Garson Point Bridge, 339 in proper at the Exxon in Milton, 318 at the Raceway, same at the Pea Ridge Murphy, 329 at the stations going through Pace. Walmart on 9 Mile, 314, 317 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And then coming in from the southwest side, looks like, oh, man, they're all bad. The Beacon 3-star in Cervantes has 317. That's your best in the region. Good luck. 655 on News Radio 92.3. 92.3 Candy has traffic on the fives.
Not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like everything's running smoothly right now. 98 is accident-free. And if you have a traffic tip, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 437-1620. You can text it in.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Norfolk Southern Railway says they're spending $387 million on the February chemical train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. The costs reported include environmental cleanup, anticipated legal fees, and money to reimburse the government for EPA oversight. The FBI says the U.S. saw more casualties from active shooter incidents last year than it did in the previous 4 years. New data released by the agency Wednesday counted 313 casualties over 50 active shooter incidents, including 100 deaths. The FBI said while the number of active shooter incidents in 2022 was down from 2021, new data shows an upward trend. And meanwhile, in New York, officials trying to capture an escaped peacock that got out of the Bronx Zoo, and apparently it bit a man as well. Local residents have been watching this peacock hanging out in a tree. Despite efforts by police and fire officials yesterday, it remains on the loose. I'm just hearing the the music in my head. Yeah.
You know, if you want to see peacocks, just go to Cantonment, man. I mean, you know, they've got a couple at Uncle Sandy's. There's a couple running loose in some subdivisions off of Kingsfield. I mean, you know, it's not that big
of a
deal.
There's a rescue farm in Bruton. And
but
they
the ones here are not the man-eating, man-biting peacocks of New York.
Not. Well, I will
everything's
say this.
Angrier in New York.
Any bird has the potential to come at you, bro.
That's true.
If you mistreat them.
That's also true.
You know, birds are, you know, that's what I love about Uncle Sandy's, the rescue for the macaws, is they've got all the signs everywhere. This bird is a biter. This bird is a double star biter. You know, and they're right. You know, some of them are friendly and not all of them are. 657 on News Radio 92.3. So, you know, Senator Rick Scott has come out with this proposal to put an armed, basically an armed guard, armed law enforcement personnel at every K-12 school in the nation. In principle, I completely support this, public and private. In practice, I do have a question. And my question is not about funding. You know, we can always find money for the things that are important. Mike, and he's going to take it out of the hiring, the $80 billion appropriated to hire IRS agents, you know, which, again, that's not hiring new agents particularly. That's hiring people who are retiring. That's replacement for the most part. This is a story that got completely misreported by most people. But anyway, that's not the issue. The issue for me is there's 115,000 schools in the U.S.-ish, okay? And I don't know. I don't have a good number for you on how many of them already have an armed law enforcement officer, but I'm going to venture a guess that it's probably not more than half. Where are you going to find 50,000 new law enforcement officers? Because that's what you're talking about. We are already short on law enforcement officers. It's a great thing in theory, but you got to have the people to staff it. And if you make it a mandate, then what does that do? And I know it's only 5 in this district and 8 in this district, but, you know, 5 or 10 law enforcement officers in a county can be a significant change in the hiring process. Just, you know, something to think about as this conversation goes forward. All right, Candy, tell them about it. Future news.
Oh. Future news.
NAS Pensacola is opening up for 2 more weekends in May. 4-day weekends, by the way, Thursday through Sunday. Oh. Key fact, no Blue Angels practices.
Okay.
Is this the next step before we just get, you know, it's going to be open?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is clearly the next phase in the rollout of the testing of, you know,
that's
weekdays.
Not official, but I hope so.
Right. I mean, to me, I'm reading it that way. And I
know
certainly
you
think that's true. Tonight, are we going to have any fights over pickleball courts or graffiti bridge or the skating downtown?
Yes.
Yes, over the pickleball for sure. That's going to be a big fight. We'll be back in a minute.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3.